Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Year after year, for almost 500 years now, Lutheran children and converts have been taught the first article of the Creed and Martin Luther's explanation of it. Hopefully they've been required to memorize it even. Hopefully you can recall with me that which we all learned, maybe more recently, maybe a bit further in the past. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. But is it? Is it not just true, not just certainly true, but is it most certainly true? Do you live as if these words were most certainly true? Even though we all were expected to learn this, most of us to memorize this, how many of us live as if God still takes care of me, not just in my soul, but in my body as well? How many of us live as if God richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life? How many of us live as if God defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil? After all, we confess that God has indeed given us bodies and souls, eyes, ears, and all our members, reason and all our senses, and still takes care of them. And yet, fear of illness in our own bodies, in that of our spouses, kids, loved ones, leave us planning and preparing, taking steps to avoid whatever contagious disease comes next. We confess that God gives us clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that we have. And yet fear of inflation and the rising cost of goods and services leave us scrutinizing every cent that comes in and every cent that we spend. We confess that God defends us against all danger and guards and protects us from all evil. And yet fear of war with a global superpower, maybe more than one, leads us to question our nation's own preparedness, or lack thereof. Do you see the problem with this? These fears that surround us pertaining to body, possessions, safety, often do not lead us to God, not to his fatherly divine goodness and mercy, but rather to ourselves, to our own reason or strength, our own powers, or perhaps worst of all, our money and possessions. To do this, to turn away from the Lord and to the things of this world, is unacceptable to the Lord. His glory he will give to no other, and not least of which is the glory of being your only rock and fortress and deliverer. And therefore, he will not permit you to claim him as your God and yet put your trust in those things in which there is no salvation. For that in which you seek security, that to which you give your heart, that which you desire, that becomes your God. And you can only have one of those. Or as Jesus himself said this morning, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. Perhaps you remember the older translation. You cannot serve God and mammon. That is, not just money in and of itself, but property, earthly goods, stuff. when Jesus preaches against anxiety, he doesn't name any of the countless deities that the Romans had or that the surrounding pagan nations had. He named the earthly property that men devote their lives to gather, in which they falsely seek help, to which they devote themselves, and because of which they cease to love God and their neighbor alike. Mammon. Mammon, Jesus says, is the opposite of the one true God. And so you cannot serve both. Not 50-50, not 60-40, 75-25, not even 99-1. It's all or nothing. 100% devotion and love. Only one master can be served and worshipped. And if you don't fear, love, and trust in God above all things, then you will inevitably begin to worship Mammon. And the worship that Mammon demands of his believers is worry. Just think about all the worries that arise from possessions, earthly goods, stuff alone. We worry about loans and debt and interest rates, or perhaps forgiving those debts. We worry about the rising cost of food and gas, empty shelves on the grocery store, and yet we also worry because our refrigerators and pantries are full with food that is spoiling or expired. We worry about clothing, not being able to afford a whole new wardrobe for kids that just don't stop growing, not to mention the cost of their sports and music activities and braces. We worry about the decisions that are being made in Washington and how that's going to affect us come next April 15th. We worry about whether or not we will have a job in the next year, and then we also worry because there's too many jobs out there that aren't being filled. We seem to live in a constant state of worry. Now, even if we look past the fact that the great majority of our worries never really come to pass or are totally insignificant if they do happen, even setting that aside, what good does worry do you? Jesus said it best. Of course he did. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your span of life? Or another way to translate it is, which one of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit, about a foot and a half of length, to your height? And obviously the answer is no one. You can't make yourself grow taller by worrying. You can't make yourself live longer by worrying. In fact, even earthly knowledge and research is telling us the opposite. Studies show that those who are excessively anxious shorten their lifespan. Again, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. When you worry, you are turning your eyes away from God to mammon. And so we should not downplay or overlook just how sinful worry actually is. It's not just a little concern. Jesus didn't treat it as a small matter. Worry is a sin. Returning again to the small catechism, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods, that is explained, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. So to worry, that is to worship mammon, is to break this commandment. To worry is to show a lack of trust in God, that he is actually able to provide for all of our needs. To worry is to confess that God may be wise, but maybe not wise enough to know everything that I really need. To worry is to confess that God may be powerful, but maybe not powerful enough to provide for all my needs. To worry is to confess that God may be loving, and yet not loving enough to take care of me all of my days. In short, to worry is to doubt that God is really God in the end. But God is God. Yesterday, today, and forever, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. And he is all-loving. He knows exactly what you need, He is able to provide exactly what you need, and he loves you in order to give you exactly what you need. He is not a cruel and demanding master like Mammon, who demands you to be anxious before him. He is the gracious and merciful Lord who wants you to be bold and confident before him. He wants you to worship him, not with worry, but with faith. Faith being an open hand, an open heart that simply receives everything that God gives, blessings of both body and soul, without any anxiety about how those blessings might be earned or repaid. Faith is the highest and best worship of God, to believe that everything he does for you is only out of his fatherly divine goodness and mercy toward you, without any merit or worthiness in you. This is most certainly true, but it's most certainly hard to believe sometimes, isn't it? It seems that our default behavior is to worry, which makes sense, since we are all corrupted by sin. But Jesus says, don't do it. Don't worry. Instead, look outside. Look at the birds of the air. See the lilies of the field. He says, in effect, if you won't listen to my preaching, then let the birds and the flowers be your preachers today. Listen to their sermon. The sparrow preaches, I neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feeds me. He provides me with grain and seed, and I sing as beautiful a hymn of praise as has ever been sung. And in fact, if I were caged with every physical need of mine provided by a dutiful owner, I would be less happy than I am here out in God's creation, trusting in him alone for food and drink and shelter. Listen to what the lily says. I neither toil nor spin, but God clothes me. He makes my petals and leaves so magnificent that I am clothed more beautifully than the finest fashion in Milan, and I smell more beautiful than the most expensive perfumes in Paris. Let's just look around, Jesus says, and there creation testifies to you of God's gracious provision. And when you look with the eyes of faith bestowed upon you by the Holy Spirit, then you hear creation tell you, if God so clothes and feeds us, will he not much more feed and clothe you, O you of little faith? Are you not of more value than they? Yes, he will. And yes, you are. For while God is indeed the Father of all by creation, he is your Father by adoption. By his will, he made you his own dear child. You are God's beloved child, not simply because you were born into this world, but because you were reborn in the waters of holy baptism. And while the birds and the lilies are worth the cost of grain and seed, sunshine and water, you are of far more value to your Father in heaven. For he purchased and won you, not with gold or silver, but with the holy precious blood and the innocent suffering and death of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. So as Paul can write in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Your heavenly Father gave his only begotten son, Jesus, over to the most bitter suffering and death because of his boundless love for you, to rescue you from the wicked tyranny of Mammon. And if he didn't even hold back the life of his beloved son to save you from sin, death, and hell, he will most certainly not hold back that which he knows you need in this day-to-day earthly life. And in fact, because he is so boundless and overflowing in his love for you, he often in generosity provides you far more abundantly than your mere day-to-day needs. Your Your Heavenly Father knows that you need clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, and all the rest. And more than knowing that you need such things, He wills to give you such things. He has, and He will continue to do so. And therefore, dear Christians, born of water and the Spirit, beloved children of God, do not succumb to the temptation to worship mammon by worrying. Instead, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is, seek Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again for you and for your salvation. He will not forget you. He cannot forget you. He has engraved you on the palms of His hands, not with pen and ink, but with nails in His own blood. This engraving is proven to you, not by those physical blessings and material prosperity which come and go in this world, but rather in the means of grace, word and sacrament, freely given to you. Yes, even the poorest beggar on the street, having no home, dressed in tattered clothes, can be clothed in the gleaming robe of Christ's righteousness, find a home here in the house of God, be fed with the finest food of God's word. Even those whose bodies, eyes, ears, and all their members are failing or have failed can be given new eyes and ears of faith by the Holy Spirit, confessing and looking ahead to the resurrection of their body and the life everlasting, which is the promise for all who believe in Jesus. Even those who lack wife or husband or children, house or home, can come to the church and here find an eternal home in heaven. And in this very congregation, brothers and sisters who love them, who will do good unto them. And beyond that, a family more numerous than the stars in the sky, just as was promised to our father Abraham long ago. All this God does for you only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in you. And therefore Jesus says, don't be anxious, don't worry. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. But don't worry about today either. Despite the fact that sufficient for today is its own trouble, for even in this troublesome today, you still have a gracious Heavenly Father who daily and richly provides for all of your needs of this body and life, for your flesh and for your soul. He has given His only begotten Son to redeem you, to set you free by His blood shed on the cross for you. He has set you free from all of your sins, especially those sins of worrying and being anxious about what tomorrow may hold or what the possessions of the present need mean. He set you free from sinful service to money and mammon, devoting yourself to these things that moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal that don't last. But He's also set you free to do things, to help and support, to love your neighbors in need, showing the love of God to them. For again, if you know by faith that your Heavenly Father loves you and will give you all that you need to support this body and life, giving you clothing, shelter, food, etc., then you can use that confidence in God to supply those who are lacking such things, to use your abundance to meet the poverty of others. Take what has been given to you by God and help the poor and the hungry, the homeless and the lonely. Again, if God indeed daily and richly provides for all of your needs of this body and life, then you can take the things of this body and life and give them generously to others without expectation of repayment. After all, no matter what happens to you today, no matter what you give up today, no matter what you might lose today, God remains your God today, tomorrow, and forever. And so He will take care of you today, tomorrow, and forever. Jesus doesn't want there to be any confusion, any uncertainty. He couldn't be clearer when He says to us all today, do not be anxious about anything. Not about the past, for your sins are completely forgiven by Christ who died for you. Not about the present, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And not about the future, for even so, Jesus Christ is coming soon to take you unto himself, where you will eat and drink at the heavenly banquet, where you will be clothed with all the saints in the white robe of his righteousness, where you will dwell eternally in a place that he is even now preparing for you. Jesus says, don't be anxious at all. I love you. You are my Father's beloved child. And in response, we all confess, this is most certainly true. In Jesus' name, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.